I'm going to read Psalm 133 this morning. Psalm 133, so you can turn there if you have your Bibles with you. Psalm 133, even though it is a very short psalm, it has some wonderful spiritual lessons for us. So let's read Psalm 133, where it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." Now the psalmist has 4 points that he is talking to us about in this psalm. Point one is that it is good and pleasant when we dwell together in unity. Number two, it is fragrant when we dwell with each other in unity. Number three, it is refreshing when we dwell in unity. And four, it is the sure guarantee of God's blessing. So point number one, it is good and pleasant when we dwell in unity. Let's read verse one again where it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." This doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. On matters of fundamental importance, there we must agree. The fundamental doctrines of the gospel have to be agreed upon by all of us. But on lesser matters, there is liberty for differing viewpoints. But in all things, there should be a spirit of love. There can be unity without uniformity. After all, we're all different, but that shouldn't prevent us from working together in unity. God never intended that everyone should agree on matters of minor importance. It is enough to agree on the basics. We may disagree on other things, but we must never be disagreeable. The real enemies of unity are jealousy, gossip, backbiting, lovelessness, and censoriousness. I bet you don't know what that means, do you? Well, I didn't either. It was in my Bible commentary, so I had to look it up. A censorious person is one who is so critical that they find something wrong in everything. God doesn't want us to be like that. Point number two, unity is fragrant. Let's read verse two. "It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments." Unity is like the fragrant oil that was used to anoint Aaron the priest. It was poured on his head and ran down his beard and onto his garments. You can read about that in Exodus 30, verses 22 to 30. Not only did Aaron enjoy the pleasing scent, but so did everyone in his vicinity. The holy anointing oil represents the work of the Holy Spirit descending as a sweet-smelling aroma on God's people when they live happily together in unity. As the sweet smell of their testimony spreads out in the surrounding area. And God loves when that happens. Point number three, unity is refreshing. Let's read the first half of the third verse. "It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion." The psalmist sees Mount Hermon as the source of refreshing dew and moisture that refreshes the land around it. Again, the dew represents the Holy Spirit carrying refreshment from united brethren to the ends of the world. No one can measure how far-reaching the influence is of believers who walk in fellowship with God and with one another. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. There it says, this is Paul speaking, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." The fourth point is the guarantee of God's blessing. Let's read the second part of the third verse. "For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." The psalm tells us that when we live in unity, God will bless us. It's a promise because he says he commanded the blessing. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verses 6 to 9. Matthew chapter 5, verses 6 to 9. This is the Beatitudes that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Matthew 5, 6 to 9. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. He's speaking to about those people. Those people are desiring unity and fellowship. Also, turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. There it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And an example of this we can take from Pentecost, as written about in the book of Acts. The believers were living in unity and in prayer, waiting for the Holy Spirit. Suddenly the Holy Spirit descends upon them in all his fullness, and they went out with the fragrance and the refreshment of the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. God blessed their unity. Here the blessing is called life forevermore in this psalm. When we believers live in love and unity, we experience life to the full, and we become channels through which life flows out to others. God desires us to live in love and unity. He loves when we do that and promises us more and more blessing as a result. Let's read Ephesians 4, 29 to 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 to 32. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.